Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower. Thanks for listening.
Greetings and welcome to another show on a Friday morning. This is Sound the Show Far. I'm the Watchman Dana Smith. And we have been in this end time ministry for only over 20 years, over two decades, beginning back in the early 70s. Warn Radio, Sound the Shofar, as with Remnant Battle Lines on Thursdays and our advocacy show, our fast moving shows. We do not take calls in shows. This is not a call in show. These are biblical teachings and other important topics. If you need to get a hold of us, go to warn-usa.com. Reach us through our contact page. That's what people do. You want to talk to us, you have something, a question, whatever it is, you do that. You can find us on usa.life and also on MeWe. Those are two new ones. We've had MeWe for quite a while, and it actually is just a nice little place where everything is secure. And so is USA.life, a Facebook-like alternative for patriots and Christians and others. Well, at any rate, you can find us, WatchmanIS216 on Twitter and Facebook, Warn Radio on Instagram and Twitter, Watchman on LinkedIn. We're also on Tumblr. And, of course, all of our radio shows go out to the Watchman Alert Radio Network, which includes a network like Spreaker and Blueberry, Acast, and many more. You can find us through the iTunes app as well, through the Blog Talk Radio app. We're Warn Radio Visions on that. iHeart Radio app. So there's a lot of apps you can listen. You can also go to our websites and listen, and you can also listen live on any number of them. But for the most part, we make these programs to target a certain time and a certain audience that they can listen at their convenience. A couple of articles. I've got a new one coming out today called The Mystery of Iniquity and the Truth. And it should be in the feeds right now. It just got published not too long ago. But we also have Christian Faith versus Frailties, Fiction and Failure, and Enemies of the Cross of Jesus Christ. I am unashamedly and unabashedly a writer and an author and a publisher and a preacher and teacher of Jesus Christ. And that's it. I'm a watchman and been a watchman before being a watchman was the in thing. And that's what we're here to do. Look at the word and go from there. As far as everything in the news is going on, where do you start? I don't. You want to know the news, go find it. Occasionally I'll bring it up. But nine times out of ten, when I get to the news feed, it's nothing but a bunch of bunk. Because apparently reporters today and their editors don't feel they have to have any basis of truth for what they are telling people over the internet. But that's another thing altogether. That's part of the mystery of iniquity of these days we live in. As far as Syria and the Kurds or the Christians, it's a mess. It's always been a mess. It was going to be a mess whether we're there or whether we're not there. And I like the Kurds because they were standing up for the Christians and others. And I know exactly what they were trying to do, and I was for their state, Rojava. But unfortunately, Erdogan, who's a NATO member and has F-35s along with a lot of tanks and one of the biggest armies in the Middle East, as good as the Kurds are at fighting, it's going to be hard to repel Erdogan. The guy's a bully. Europe is too weak to handle him. And of course, this gets back to the same old thing. Put all of our troops fighting other people's battles. There's a lot of war hawks out there that think that America needs to fight everybody's battles. That's not our job. Even our forefathers said that. Nevertheless, all this doesn't mean a tinker's you know what, because nobody listens. Nevertheless, a lot of those soldiers we were sent over, you know, we sent our boys over to train other nations, and more our kids are getting shot in the back by the various people they're supposed to be teaching. Nothing but a hunk. Bunch of lies. We should have never gone into the Middle East. I don't care what Bush and all the war hawks said. Nevertheless, the only one that really, really was known for being a war hawk there, of course, was Ron Paul. Nevertheless, in all of this, we're moving on. Revelation and the messages to the seven churches. And this isn't new. People read it all the time. That is, if they get into the book of Revelation. But you see, the thing that we're doing today, we're going to start with Judah. Now, we are in Isaiah, which warns of the judgment on Judah. And when you think of examples here, if God judged his own people, destroyed the very city of David that God called his own, destroyed the temple, led Judah captive for 70 years, the priests were carried captive, the prophets, and that is a number of everybody died in this. But the ones that were left went into captivity. Few left in the land attended. If God did that to his own people for their iniquity, where do you think the goyim, the Gentiles, are going to stand in all this for their perversions? Especially when they reject the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua. But see, we're living in that time of rejection. And even though I say that, there are a lot of people of other faiths that are coming to the Lord. There's a battle going on. We report on it weekly. Jeremiah 7, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, stand in the gate of the Lord's house, proclaim there this word, and say, hear the word of the Lord, all you of Judah, that enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. So he stood right where everybody went in to go to church. Nothing more irritating. It's like leaving Walmart and you have everybody there trying to sell you something or give you something or, you know. So here you are wanting to go to church and some dude is standing there. And so this is what Jeremiah says. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I'll cause you to dwell in this place. Trust not in the lying word, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. Those are very good words. You go into church and some dude's standing there and he's saying, you need to clean up your act, buddy. You need to repent. You're a sinner. Don't just trust going into this church here, saying that America's a Christian nation. We got all these churches and we're fine. You're wicked. Jeremiah goes on to say, for if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if you oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt, then I'll cause you to dwell in this place, in the land I gave your fathers forever. Of course, idolatry, walking after other gods, innocent blood, that's blood guilt. Oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and widows. That goes right back to the Torah. It also follows what the Lord says in the Beatitudes. So act like you care for people. Love. Don't shed innocent blood. Don't hate. And even today, don't walk after other gods. Oh, we love to walk after other gods. We like our idolatry. And we like our churches. For a place that has more churches in it than any other nation on earth and has more preachers that come out of the seminaries, we're a bunch of friggin' pagans. Oh, no, we're not. Oh, dear God in heaven, give me strength. Dear Lord, message that Jeremiah has is not well received. The Lord told him it wouldn't be received. You're not going to live in the land if you don't serve me. That's the simple message. If you're going to go after other gods, let them take care of you because I'm going to cast you away. If you won't walk in what I want you to walk in truth and righteousness, I'll cast you away. Don't kill your neighbor for no reason or for any reason. You know, I mean, blood guilt is killing someone innocent. Now, see, this is where it gets down to brass tacks. He says, behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will you steal, murder, and commit adultery? Now, of course, there could have been Jews committing adultery with other women, but this is committing adultery by following another god and leaving the Lord. See, because he had joined Israel unto himself and unto his name. He was known as the Lord God of Israel. You can't be the Lord God of Israel when the one you're supposed to be married to is out cavorting with another god. Well, see, in the New Covenant, it's the same way. The Ten Commandments, of course, many churches don't even think they even need to pay attention to them. That's a mistake. You'll have no other gods before me. Well, does that mean I can't serve this? Yeah. Does that mean I can't love my car as though it's a god? Yeah. Well, at any rate. So Jeremiah says, will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom you know not? Because they serve these other gods. And they don't really know that these are not gods, but demons behind them, who's in the employ of Satan. So, and walk after other gods whom you know not, and come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. In this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes. Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord. So they go in to the temple and go through all the motions, have their sacrifices. The priest blesses them. And in this case, the priests and the prophets themselves were cavorting with Baal as well. I mean, the whole bunch of them were given over. So the whole thing was corrupted. No different today, going into your churches. You feel better, you sing your songs. Oh God, forgive me, and go right back out and do it again. So you go to church just to be delivered, just so you can go out and do more abominations. Now, that doesn't mean every church in America does that. That does not mean that every Christian does that. That does not mean that every pastor agrees with that. But that's what we're talking about. Do you think God today is willing to allow you to serve other gods? Do you think that the pastors, and there's been a lot of pastors, leaders who've been caught up in sexual immorality and all kinds of things, including money and theft, and which is tragic. And so the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord is these. You keep saying, we're going to go to the temple of the Lord. We're going to go to church. We're going to go in there. We go to church all the time. Then you go out and you walk like a goyim, a pagan, an unbeliever. Now, see, in 1 John 1, John kind of, he does cover this. He says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, meaning Christ, then we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And of course, if we do sin, then we have an advocate with the Father. He'll forgive us of our sins. He's faithful and just to do that. So you see, God sent Jeremiah. Just one of the many prophets that warned both houses of Israel, the northern tribes and the southern tribe. Today in the new covenant, God sent his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross to provide atonement for all those who would believe. You see, when he came the first time, he was a suffering servant. When he comes again, he's going to come as the warrior king, the greater son of David, fulfilling all the promises that God gave unto David. And he will sit on his throne. But you see, there is a problem. That's why he wrote the letters to the seven churches in Asia. And he wrote them to the seven churches in Asia because that's where the people were. He couldn't write them to the seven churches in America because we weren't here yet. Or Great Britain. There are a bunch of pagans up in Britain. And others. But you see, they're there for a reason. Because he's lining out to you and telling you, listen, This is the new covenant, and I did die for you, but I'm also the one who will judge all men according to their works, and he's no respecter of person. And for your own good, you need to understand that Christ died for you on that cross. He nailed your sins to the cross. And he has provided a way for you to live above all the sin stains and lusts of the world. There is power in the name of and in the presence of and with the Spirit of God and using his word. Like he said, I'm the vine, you are the branches. He went on to say, without me, you can do nothing. That's why we walk in the light as he is in the light. That's why we have fellowship, because without him, we can do nothing. The example of Judah is very simple. See, they went into captivity for 70 years. And of course, the other tribe, the northern tribe, just went into captivity, then got mixed up within the nations. They intermingled and, you know, they got lost in all of that. That's why they call them the lost tribes of Israel. Some of them remained in the land, so some of them were still there. But predominantly, Judah and Benjamin was with Judah, and so were the Levites. The Levites was not a tribe, but the priestly class. They're the only ones that returned, and they returned after 70 years. Now, see, the number 10 is a number of fulfillment and completion, really, because we have the five wise virgins and the five foolish virgins. There's a whole bunch of examples of the number 10. Seven is a perfect number. So when we say 70, it's not only looked at as 70, a generation, but it's looked at as a perfect number, a completion of judgment. That's when judgment was completed, was in 70 years, and the prophet Daniel found that out, and God used him mightily in all of this. But you see, the Jews never thought that God would judge his own place called Jerusalem, or his temple, or the priests, or the prophets. Because even Jeremiah ran into one of these so-called prophets, a false prophet, but he was prophesying in the name of the Lord, and the Lord sent judgment on him and alienated him. What do you think that would happen in our churches if we started having people getting eaten by lions because they were sinning? Or the preacher, or the so-called prophet. Or if every time you sinned, a bolt of lightning would strike right by you. No, I saw that. You think maybe we'd wake up? I mean, we've got them in here in America. We've got people, we've got churches that walk in an abomination. And you can't tell anybody anything in America. Many of them won't listen at all. So he goes on to say, therefore will I do unto this house which is called by mine, wherein you trust, unto the place which I gave to you and your fathers, as I've done to Shiloh. And I'll cast you out of my sight, as I've cast out all your brethren, even the whole seed of Ephraim. That's the northern tribe. And he tells Jeremiah, therefore pray not for this people, and neither lift up cry nor prayer for them, neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear thee. And he says, and now he's talking to Jeremiah, don't pray for him, but he says, seest thou not what they do in the cities of Judah and the street of Jerusalem? Don't you see, Jeremiah, what they're doing? He goes on to say in verse 18, they gather wood, the fathers kindle the fire, the women knead their dough to make cakes unto the queen of heaven, to pour out drink offerings unto other gods, that they may provoke me to anger. He says, do they provoke me to anger, saith the Lord? Do they not provoke themselves to the confusion of their own faces? When you serve other gods, you do get confused. You confuse your children. There's one Lord, one God, one Savior. Now, the nations have always had their gods, even before Israel entered into the land. And the Lord warned them, do not do after these nations that were before you. So the nations will always have their various gods. That's not the issue. The issue, if especially if you're a believer, is believing, walking in his ways, and staying there. But you see, Shiloh was totally removed. Now see, Eli and his sons, Eli was old, his sons were wicked, and they abused their office in the temple. Of course, this was about the time that little Samuel was born, and his mother, who was interceding to have a child, said, I'll give him to you, and she gave him, and he grew up in the temple of the Lord around the wickedness of Eli, but yet God preserved that little child, and he became a great prophet. And I use that example for your own children. Walk in the ways of the Lord, serve him, and pray for your child, and God can protect your children from the sin and iniquity that is around them. That's what God did with little Samuel. He can do it with your children. But you have to believe, you have to be walking there and sincerely in a relationship with the Lord. These examples are there for us to know, to understand, to walk in his ways. So before we begin this on the Revelation letters to the churches, we need to understand the example that was before us. Now, of course, the Christians today love to say, well, that was the Old Testament. Well, I got news for you. The God of the Old Testament is still your God today. If you believe in Yahshua, Jesus Christ, he didn't do away with God the Father, Jehovah, the Lord God. He didn't become the new president and kick the old one out and let him retire. God the Father isn't off golfing somewhere. The Lord ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. Who do you think he makes intercession to? His Father. All things are in his hands. And besides that, the Lord said, I've come not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. That's what he does. And that's also why Paul said, despise not the chastening of the Lord. You're just glad you're not in the Old Testament, because back in the Old Testament, if you did something wrong, that was it. Off with your head. You know, I mean, you were in trouble. You were a deep, deep doo-doo. It's not like we are today. You know, we have children, we tell them what to do, and after about the 9th, 10th time, we finally get mad enough to scream and yell, and they know, well, now I pushed him too far. But most of us don't go to 10. Usually it's about 4 times. That's my estimate. And look at our kids today, lawless. Because they've been trained to be lawless. Lawlessness is part of the end of days, and that's why I wrote that article, Mystery of Iniquity and the Truth. It's a must read. And it's on our websites now. I'm going to be sending it out over social media. It's already out there, but I've got a few more to do. So I can guarantee you that's where the word Ichabod came from, Ichabod. Because Israel went to war and they lost. The ark was taken, the priests were killed, including Eli. He fell over and hit his head. The sons were killed. See, back then it was detrimental. I mean, if you weren't right with the Lord God, he wasn't going to be with you in that battle, and you'd die. Remember the spies that were sent out. And they came back, 10 with a bad report, 2 with a good report. And the 10 turned the hearts of the entire generation of Israel against the Lord in unbelief. And so Moses got after him and told him what the judgment would be. They're going to wander around the desert for 40 years. Until that generation died. That was full of unbelief. He said, I'll take your kids in. Well, then they said, we're going to go up and we'll take the land. And Moses says, don't go. It's too late. I'm not going to go with you. They went anyway. And they got defeated. They got routed. The only difference today is we don't have to wander around in the desert, but many times people spend most of their life wandering around in circles not knowing the truth. Today, God chastises his children as a father does his child. Well, in today's society, that's against the law anymore. You get reported for it. Your kid's taken away. Because my whole family was there with me when I went to Bible school. They had the social welfare people out then. And they were taking kids away from the married students if you did something wrong. It was a real big deal back there. It was a small town, small area. We weren't going to let that happen. If they would have tried to take our kids away, we would have left. Gone back home. But we didn't do anything for them to do that. But the bottom line of it is that as many as the Lord loves, he rebukes and chastens. And many times you can go out as a Christian without properly seeking him and acknowledging him. And you can be defeated. You can be doing it in the flesh. You may think you're doing it in the spirit and with God's blessing, and it's not there. But see, the thing that we have today, the children of Israel had the book, the Tanakh, the Septuagint, and their own writings. We have the New Testament, writing of the apostles. I don't think by any stretch that we have all the writings that there were. And I don't think by any stretch we have all the writings that Peter wrote. Because Peter was the rock, the one whom many consider, including Catholic Church, to be the head of the church. Even Paul went to see Peter. So in Revelation, we have seven letters. But I want to stop off a bit in Ephesians. Because this is typical of Pauline writing. And you can find some of these same warnings in Colossians. They're real similar. Except Colossians really does focus on Christ, the deity, the Messiah, the anointed aspect in the first portion. He says, be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and have given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not once be once named among you as become saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance of the kingdom of Christ and of God. Now see, that's just plain. If you think, as a church, we can indulge in these things, and that God is fine with it, you're mistaken. And we do have churches led by so-called pastors, so-called prophets, that are indulging in this baloney. And it goes on to say, let no man deceive you with vain words, empty words, useless words. Because anytime someone tries to defend this kind of behavior, it's foolishness. They're foolish, useless, worthless words. They mean nothing. But they will try to tell you that it's okay. I know, I've stood toe-to-toe with pastors and talked to them about things. You know, there was a post on our Facebook page, on our Instagram. It had some guy facing the wall. I'm not going to tell you what he said on it, but the bottom line of it is, that's what it's like dealing with people that do these things and you try to tell them not to. It's like talking to a wall. Let no man deceive you with vain or useless words, because of these things comes the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. They're still children, but they're disobedient children. He says, be ye not therefore partakers with them. Now see, all of this in respects to the mystery of iniquity is part and parcel of what's going on today. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Now see, that's a problem in America and the world today. We have no shame. And even those people that are doing things that are an abomination parade around in our streets saying it's okay. Flaunting it before God and the church, saying, okay, I'm doing this. What are you going to do about it? The church does nothing. For 60 years, 70 years, 80 years, the church has done nothing. They just have church. They build their little kingdoms. They go in and out of their doors. And society goes to hell. Your kids are lost. And you wonder what the problem is. The gospel, the true gospel, is hardly ever preached. Most of it is self-centered, inward. Some of the biggest messages to Christians are, have your best life now, secular, carnal, fleshly. Feel good. That'll send you to hell quicker than ever. That's where the devil wants you. It's about time to repent. Church, cast off this. See, we don't even blush anymore. We've seen so much of it. But it's a shame even to speak of these things. Now, Jude says it even more, is a despising even the flesh spotted by the garment, you know. I mean, that's how filthy sin is. But see, we don't see it that way. It's darkness, it's unfruitful, it's unclean. Well, the Lord said in John 3:16, I mean, following words in the context there, that people won't come to the light because they love darkness more. And darkness are the deeds of darkness. But he goes on to say, but all things are that are reproved are made manifest when you expose them, when you reprove them. If the church would have stood up and said, no, that's not right. We're not going to have it. We're standing up now. But we don't. And, of course, today the argument is, well, we're America. We have a right. No, you don't have a right. That's a bunch of baloney. Even our forefathers wrote about it. This nation will not stand if we have wickedness. They warned about this. A democracy can't stand in that regards. And even the garbage going on in the House proves the wickedness, pride of men is overruling the Constitution and how they're dealing with Trump. This is wickedness. No, it's not. Trump is bad. Oh, you're full of it. The guy ain't your pastor. The guy's the president, but they treat him like a dog. They despise him. But see, that's just one part of what society is like today. So Paul says, wherefore he saith, speaking of the Lord, awake you that sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. That's what we need to do. We need to walk circumspectly before the Lord as he expects us. Don't walk as the fools do. It says fools right there. Redeeming the time, the days are evil. These times go by fast. Tower and I started out together back in the early 70s. We were in Bible school with our, you know, our whole family was there with us. The days are evil. You need to redeem the time. You need to wake up. You need to pay attention. So as we look at this, the Revelation messages, we have covered Jeremiah, the example of Judah, and poor Judah, and poor Israel. Everybody lifts them up. See, God cast them away. Even Ishmael does that. Poor Isaac, God cast him away because he sinned. So Ishmael lifts themselves up. That's the Arabs, that's the Muslims, and many others. The whole nations of men, look at Israel. They know Israel's back in the land, but she doesn't have all the land. We're going to destroy her. That's what the world says. That's what Ishmael says. But the fact of it is, if they were to look in the mirror of God, they would see that their own sins are heavy. That one day they're going to stand before this God. And the gods they are serving are not gods, but demons. And see, while God judged Israel, he judged them by judging the northern tribes and judging Judah. Cast them out of their land. But if we were to look at the Old Testament, we would find that God actually judged more Gentile nations than he did his own people. So God is the governor of the nations, and he is going to judge the nations and all the people. Now, there is another church out there. We call it the whore church, the harlot. And see, the problem that you have with the harlot is she's doing what she wants to do. And see, this is the problem today. We don't want to believe that we're a whore. Now, see, the whole idea of Revelation is to get the church ready for when the Lord comes. How can he be Lord over the church if the church is unclean? Well, he died on the cross and cleansed us of our sins, so we're clean. So it doesn't matter if I sin. I'm going to sin anyway, so God knows. He forgives me. He's a God of love. Yeah, well, when you stand before him, why don't you try that on him and see what he says? No, he didn't deliver you for you to walk in sin. In 1 John 1, he went to his own and his own, not 1 John 1, but John 1, went to his own and his own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, to become the sons of God. Now, we're not the sons of God fully incorporated yet, but we do have his spirit, we do have his promises, we do have his word, and we have his spirit. And he has given us the power to walk above the lust of the world. We are to be the light and the salt of the earth. How can you be the salt of the earth if you've lost your savor? How can you be the light if your light is as dim as the world's light is? You have to be in the Lord. You have to be walking in him. Now, the whore church is the harlot church that, well, one of the best scenes is in Revelation where you see the woman, the harlot, riding on the beast. That's what she did. That's how she got around, got her power. She used the beast, the things of the world, what he had. That's how she does it. Now, this harlot was so attractive and so amazing in her appearance that John was staring at her. The angel brought it up. John hadn't seen anyone like that before. See, that's exactly an example of the world. And one of the best ways when we're talking about the church is to look at something out of Proverbs. And this proverb is about a young man who is told to keep the words that he's told and remember them. And have understanding. Because there are people out there to snare you. And in this case, it's a woman, a whore. Of course, in America today, all of society acts like this, even in the church. Now, they don't all do that, but we have a lot of this going on. The fact that the church is here, we have more churches in our nation than any other nation on the face of the earth. Our foundation is Christianity. We've had massive revivals, and in spite of that, we are thoroughly entrenched in hedonistic, fornicating, immorality, and godlessness. So for all your churches, all your preachers, all your Christians, What effect have you had on America? How many generations of Christians today have failed? How many generations of churches and pastors have failed? That's the issue. Now, of course, if you don't believe the word, and if you do not believe that God would judge America, then go your merry way. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you will die. Proverbs 1, my son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my laws the apple of your eye. Bind them upon your fingers, write them upon the table of your heart. Say unto wisdom, you are my sister. Call understanding your kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. Because to go into this woman who would lead you astray would mean death. Now, see, if we look at this, he's just talking about going unto a whore, having sex with her, and going your way. That's not going to send you to hell after all. We know very well that one of the patriarchs went in unto a whore, a harlot. And he didn't die. Not at the time. He later on died of old age. He was still patriarch and faithful. It was a different time then, but nonetheless. See, the bottom line here is that there is another woman. Isn't it funny that God, especially in the New Testament, refers to the church as a bride, female? Isn't it funny in Revelation that the unfaithful one is referred to as Jezebel, and Jezebel is a female figure who is synonymous with evil and wickedness. Isn't it amazing that in the garden it was Eve that was deceived, of course, and led Adam to take of the fruit? So we see a lot of female here, and the female here represents, if we were talking about the New Testament, the New Covenant, we could see the woman in Revelation riding on the beast, who is very deceptive as a harlot, who wants to suckle you and bring you into her bosom and bring you into her luxuries, to have everything that your flesh would desire. Now see, this is the flattering whore, the harlot. She doesn't look like a harlot at all. And she allures. Her devices are not just sexual immorality. That's kid stuff. This woman leads you into a lot other stuff than that. So this particular Proverbs really does speak of these things. It's an amazing thing when we really look at it and we give some of these things deep thought, finding understanding. Because here it's simple. In the New Testament, it would be stay in his word, walk in his light, do what he says, and keep yourself from all evil. That's what we need to be doing. And so, next time we will finish this, and then we've got another little section And then we can go to the beginning of the seven churches. And I give you this background in order to give you this foundation. Because the reason God gives you the seven churches in Revelation, the letters, is because he loves you. It's redemptive. And he wants to bring you out. He doesn't want you to die. He doesn't want you to fall. He wants you to know and to make up your heart and your mind to follow him. He gives you the choice. It's not the wrathful God. It is the redemptive portion of God that has always been there. Even during the judgments on Israel, every one of them was redemptive. Because when sin enters in, death is inevitable. And when a person is facing death, you do everything you can to keep them alive. Father, we thank you for your word today. Be with your people. Help them to walk in your ways. Bless them. And keep them safe in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, streaming, and receiving of this word. Don't forget to go by our websites, warren-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com. And here's a short word, and we'll be back.
You're listening to Warren Radio on the WIBR Warren Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warren-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn.
We are back. I want to thank you for listening today. Don't forget to go by the websites, get all the latest shows. Check us out over on USA.live. Now, if you go to our websites, you'll be able to find a lot of resources. But you can find us on USA.life as well as Facebook and a lot of others. So with that, we'll see you. Have a great weekend. Shalom.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Warren Radio.